Father, as we come in Jesus' name this morning, our mind is persuaded of the tremendous need that there is all about us, as the one man expressed it. Men in the world have always needed God, but America so badly needs Him, in so much as they have learned to pretty well get along without Him. We pray this morning that you will help us in this time, this day of prosperity, in this day of plenty, in this day when life seems to be coming up like roses to many of us. May we realize that it's the sunshine that bringeth forth the adder, and help us to put our confidence in you anew and afresh, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 4, I want to read a verse. In chapter 5, I'll read two verses. 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now by reading from the fifth chapter, verses 8 and 9, we learn that these are not some strange creatures as many have thought them to be, but they are God's precious people that have been redeemed. Now let's read. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and note this, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So this shows that these creatures are living ones with these wings, are redeemed human beings. We see them again in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah and the second verse. And there again they're said to have six wings. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 6, we see them as having four wings. But in each, the writer is simply showing how that they are intimately and inseparably a part of the executive righteousness of the Lord's throne. And we see them there as ever ready to carry out his will with their satisfaction of the blood of the Lamb and the purposes that God has for human life. And then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, as the prophet is telling of the way God's people can be victorious and overcome, he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, to understand Bible terminology is to realize that wings in the Bible speak of the heavenly character of certain believers. And their wings show us how they are given a God-given ability to take their place in the heavens and to manifest a heavenly life. This is that which is figured by the wings. And of course we could say other things, but this is enough. And one of the sweet fancies of Christians everywhere is that when this life is over and we have gone to be with the Lord, all of us are going to have wings. And I am sure this was the fancy that caught the writer of the old Negro spiritual when he wrote, "I got wings, you got wings, all of God's children got wings. When I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my wings. I'm going to fly all over God's heaven." And when we think of the enslavement of those oppressed people, the galling cruelties to which they were often forced to submit, one may well understand the thought of wings that gripped the writer as he wrote the psalm. You think of wings with the spacious freedom and the glorious liberty that they would bring, and how the spaciousness that they didn't know would someday be known. And you can imagine how the writer, with a sense of relief, looked up from the conditions that were almost unbearable and found strength in the thought of one day having wings. And so the human race has often maintained its fortitude and its equilibrium in the dark and the depressing times. We think of the difficulties and the desperate circumstances that have often come to peoples, and with the vision of better days and of a hope that was set before them, they were able to endure. We read of Moses that after he forsook Egypt, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. But then here's where I want to depart just a little bit. And I realize that while wings are a wonderful thing to think about, you see, as I stand here, I realize that one day I'll be released from this confining body. And I'll go to be with the Lord. And at that time, I expect to be in this company that have these wings. But then I'm deeply aware that if I want wings then, I'm going to have to develop them now. And this is what so many of God's people don't realize as they think of the things of God. And so I want to pause with you and make us realize that we're not confined to wings someday, but here and now. It says, "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." How this fact so often strengthened ordinary men and women of the Bible, and they became superior to the conditions and the circumstances of their time. And many of them that were in slavery, they rose up nevertheless with wings as eagles. And they not only saw that day that they would have wings, they realized that they had a certain sufficiency and ability and resources backing them that nothing could keep them from doing the will of God here and now. And this is what I would have us realize. I read to you a few moments ago the statement out of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, how Moses endured as having seen him who is invisible. We read of Abraham who dwelt in tents because he saw a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God's. David's or Joseph in his prison and in his pit dreamed his dreams of one day sitting on a throne and having others come and bow down to him. David, who can read his Psalms and not see how he looked away from the conditions that were often upon him. Now, not always. One day, and I was a little amused, I was reading this the other day, the 56th Psalm, and he tells of the unendurable pressures that were on him. And like you and I thought of a brother of mine, my younger brother. He'd get in a hard spot and he'd say, I wish Jesus would come. And David said, oh, he said, if I had the wings of a dove, he said, I'd get up and fly away from this situation. But you see, that isn't God's way. God don't want us to fly away from the situation. He wants us to conquer the situation. And so this is often true of David and a host of others. They did what they couldn't do. I've often thought of the Lord asking men to do what they couldn't do. He asked a man to take up his bed and walk. The man had been carried in and let down through a roof. He was so helpless, he was on a cot. They couldn't even take him off his cot, but Jesus told him, get up and take up his bed and walk away, and the man did. He told another man, go and see, and he did. He told another man, stretch forth your shriveled arm, and he did. He told another man, he said, get up from that deathbed, and he did. He said, Peter, go down there and get a fish, and he'll have a coin in his mouth, and he did. He always told men to do what they couldn't do themselves, but he wanted them to know when he gave the order, they could do it. And so we have a host of others, and they left their testimony that all God's children got wings, and they absolutely did. So why should we think alone of the remote future when wings may be our present resource and certainly our need? When I see the present conditions among the people of God, the defeat, the whining, the murmuring, the friction, grasping and so victorious, victorious, not victorious. When I see them now, to postpone using wings is unthinkable, incredible. God never intended that his people be defeated. He never intended that they be enslaved. He never intended that they go around whining and complaining and leaning on everything that the world leans on. Now, to say we don't need our wings now with their power and their resources for triumphant living, it's simply to hide our eyes from the facts of defeated Christians on every hand. A prophet said, they shall mount up. They shall mount up. And here we have the heavenly possibility that God would have you and I translate into our present everyday life. Now let's think a little bit about these wings. How many times believers have no desire for wings? Did you know that? You be in the ministry like I have been. You begin to talk about the deeper things of God. You begin to tell people that Jesus Christ is the same today. You begin to try to convince them that the Lord is the help of His people, that in Him they have a very present help in the time of need, that He wants to be their healer as well as their Savior. He wants to fill them and thrill them with the Holy Ghost. He wants them to know the plan and the possibility of their lives. And I'll tell you, when you come in contact with it, you'll get an answer like this the biggest part of the time. I'm satisfied. I don't want any more. I have plenty. Don't try to give me that stuff about the deeper things of God. And so many are afflicted with the malady. Robert Louis Stevenson, some of you have read his works. One day he wrote The Malady of Not Wanting. There are a lot of God's children afflicted with that malady. Did you know that? Not wanting. They just simply do not want it. And Gilman wrote the poem, The Conservative. And he seemed to get the inspiration as he walked into a garden. And there he saw a beautiful butterfly that had just gone through the metamorphosis, transfiguration. And this was what he wrote. I do not want to fly, he said. I only want to squirm. And he drooped his wings dejectedly, but still his voice was firm. I do not want to be a fly. I want to be a worm. Is that it? Don't that pretty well fit some of us? No, we're not interested in heavenly food. We'd rather have a worm's eye view of everything as a bird's eye view. Wouldn't we? What about it? Sure. Why, bless your heart, we can have two views of life. We can mount up with wings as eagles and see like the eagle does, or we can stand around and squirm around down here and see like the worm does. And this is the view of God's precious people. And if you don't know that, you don't know what you're doing and what you're talking about. I can see it every day and all the time. And so there are those who don't want wings. Oh, maybe they want them someday, but not today. Oh, no, Brother Hill, I'm quite satisfied. You just leave me alone. Oh, yeah, someday you say those living creatures have wings and you associate them with a throne and with a crown and with a harp and you associate them with blowing the trumpets and opening the seals and you say these are the bride of Christ. Someday I'd like to have that, but not today. God help us. Well, don't worry. If you don't have it today, you're not going to have it tomorrow. Now, you make up your mind that's the way it's going to be. And so, you think, we only want to be pedestrian souls. Like my niece, they were afraid of the heights. You back there, Mildred? Afraid of the heights. Just I'll go as high as you can take me as long as you let me keep one of these feet down here on the ground. That's the way it is. Well, bless your precious heart. Oh, don't you want your wings? They only want strong, healthy bodies and keen minds so they can enjoy the fat things of this earth, and they just never get around to cultivating their wings. They give themselves diligently to eating, to drinking, to seeing, to being merry, but they utterly neglect their wings. You know what the wings are? The power to aspire to heavenly. The power to see the things that are unseen. The power to enter into the thought of God. The power to now, here, now, be His son. Oh, you do want that. You do want. Oh, Brother Hill, a fellow told me that's just a dream. Well, let me keep on, I'll say with the songwriter. Let me keep on if I am dreaming. I just would like to continue to dream. It's the most wonderful thing that could ever happen. I remember the day when I didn't have the dream. I can remember the day when Jesus Christ revealed Himself to me as a coming bridegroom. Oh, but the song said all God's children got wings. Even if they don't want them, they got them. But while you have wings and you can mount up and you can aspire to the best God has, the Bible says if any man will to know His will, he shall know. But then you can fail to develop your wings. Did you know that? Naturalists, you've heard of it. I looked this up this last week. Tell us of the dodo bird, now extinct. He was once a pigeon. They claim they've found the facts that he was once a pigeon. Just about the size of a pigeon. And he lived on the island Mauritius. There they say he found food so abundant that he could pick it up everywhere. And he walked around and he ate. And he ate. And his body got fat. And there was never any need to fly. So his wings became useless. And when the food played out, he died. He no longer could fly and find it somewhere else. And I'll tell you, there are Christian dodo birds. Didn't you know that? Gifted to take their place in the heavens, they become satisfied with the sordid of this life. And they grovel and they lose that ability to fly. They dabble around with the things that are here and become enamored with this life and its joys and its pleasures. God don't care if you have a good time in this life. But don't forget you got wings. And begin to use your wings. And begin to exercise your wings. Oh, you can lose them. And I read Kaufman's poem, The Tame Duck. I have a book that has all these and two or three books. He wrote, I think my soul is a tame old duck, drabbling around in the barnyard muck, fat and lazy with useless wings. But sometimes when the north wind sings and the wild ones hurtle overhead, it remembers something lost and dead. and cocks a wary, bewildered eye, and makes a feeble attempt to fly. It's fairly content with the state it's in, but it isn't the duck it might have been. That the truth? Are you the duck you might have been? When you get to heaven, will you be the duck you might have been? You won't if you don't use your wings. You just won't. You won't if you find a soft, corn-filled barnyard to wallow in the muck when the cold winds come and you creep in a man-made shelter. The day is going to come when man's shelter is a poor hiding place. You'll find it. Our president, I thought as he spoke yesterday, I left my office and went over while they were giving him the oath of office and listened to him. And he spoke of the peace for many generations. And I thought, how could you be such a friend to Billy Graham and say such a thing? Or has Billy Graham kind of thought maybe he can do it? I'm afraid he stopped using his wings some time ago. Precious hearts. Look, now you can think I'm interfering, being critical. You can think anything you want to think, but I'm here for God's people. I want you to have his best. And he wants you to have his best. And there's just one thing that'll keep you from having it, and that's that you will not use your wings. You can do anything that Paul could do. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Sure you can. Oh, he's not going to give you a dispensation and show you mysteries that have never been known to men before. God gave to Paul this mystery to complete the word of God, and it's full and complete, but you had better know that. And you can know that. Oh, yes. So, the believer who becomes absorbed with terrestrial things loses their power to soar. And the sad part is that many won't admit that they have who have. Don't succumb to the enchanted ground. You remember Pilgrim as he went on his way. He came to enchanted ground, and he came there. And the trouble was that he would get enchanted and settle down and go to sleep. We've been hearing everything but the gospel for a good number of years now. Prosper and be in health. You better read the rest of it. Even as thy soul prospereth. There isn't a one of them that would want to be prosperous like their soul is prospering, because their souls are not prospering. Oh, I think of the fleshly lusts, the pride of the eye and of life, how they can hypnotize God's people, and that joyous upward look so normal to every believer can become a drug thing. One man, I heard a preacher just the other day. You know what he said? The most happy time of a believer's life is when they first get saved. And I thought, you dumb ox. I'm going to tell you, if the happiest time of your life is when you first got saved, you've never grown up. You've never begun to enter into the joys of life. That would be like saying every little boy and every little girl was at its happiest time when it was wearing diapers and sucking a bottle. When you grow up, you'll begin to know what life is about. And I'll tell you, the most happy, joyous times of my life are now! Give me the burdens. Give me the trials. Give me the testings. None of us want them. But precious hearts, when he gave the test, he gave me wings. Oh. I watched part of Oral Roberts' program. I just watched it once. He never did know very much truth. But as I watched that sickening program, a poor, poor counterfeit of Hollywood, finally turned it off because I felt like God feels when he said, you're neither hot nor cold, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. You can say, well, now, Brother Hill, you're being critical. Now, wait a minute! I thought of that time. I never heard him but twice. But in each of those times, I watched the lame walk away from his platform. I saw the sick well again. I saw the maimed going again. And he was a lot better off at that time than at this time. You see, he never developed his wings. Now he says, let me be a worm. I don't want to fly. He said, I'm just a barnyard duck. A whale goes over crying with the north wind and said, it's time to go home. He feels a little thrill about it, but he can't fly. Now don't you tell me we're all going to take off at once. You better have your wings when the trumpet sounds. Oh, God, this is not something I'm happy about. My heart is heavy as I think of God's precious children settling down in the muck. Defeated! Whining, crying, complaining, murmuring. And every one of them got wings that will mount up like eagles. Yeah. You see, the dominant interest of believers today is material. The supreme standard is success. It is all most overwhelm God's people. And the whir of good times and society and prosperity, the sound of it is so great that we no longer hear the whir of those wings up yonder. Oh, so many of God's precious people can boast of their temporal wealth, but you can't get them to talk about Paul's place and prize. Oh, they say it has nothing to that. I don't know whether Alan Green is here this morning or not. He and my son, Ray, gave me a 5-year membership out there for my birthday last August the 4th. I appreciated it. Now, I'm not belittling that. I appreciated that. But I got, finally, last Tuesday, I got out to the spa. I went in, and Alan took me in his office. And the course of the conversation, I said, Alan, you see, he was Mr. Colorado. I said, Alan, you sure have a superb body. And I said, you know, if I just had the time, I'd have a better looking one, but I'm working so hard on my glorified body, I don't have any time to do much with this one. And that's the way it ought to be. Oh, some of you young men, you may be able to flex your muscles, and that'll be all right if you can. But what about your wings? Have you been developing them? I've got one of them old fat bodies, but I've got wings that'll take it away one of these days. You ought to see my wings. I got them covered up there this morning. About, I can feel them, though, kind of playing under my shoulder blades. Burst out one of these days, and I'm going to take off. Now, you think I'm crazy, don't you? You watch and see. You may not see me until I come back, but you could see me going. Did you know that? You could be with that group. Why, you? No reason you can't be there. You got wings. All God's children got wings. Don't you know that? They, every one of them got them! Ron and Vicky, this gets better than them deals you used to be in on, don't it? Did that LSD ever make you this high? It didn't! My, my, my. Maybe she's got another trip. We'll take off on a trip one of these days. Don't you forget it. Oh, but we will come back. Hallelujah. But you think of this. Too many of us are like that duck. The only difference is we can't hear it anymore. Old duck can at least hear it when it goes over. Now, I've seen this thing happen. I've seen it happen. But then, all of God's children have got wings. And I'm going to take you to one more thought. And that is, we have wings to use in the time of our trouble and our sorrow. One of the great differences in the people of God is this. Put one of them in a test, and he falls apart. Put another one in the test, and he becomes a better Christian. The difference is one of them uses his wings, and the other one doesn't. I've seen it so many times. You see, trouble will break and sink you, or it will enable you to mount up. It'll work for your good. You'll be a better man, a better woman. Bob, you pardon me looking at you and smiling. That test the other night. You see, the Lord's getting us ready. Now, and listen, you know the Lord could have had old Charlie with his throat cut laying off there somewhere in a corner hidden? And it would have been God's legitimate right to test us like that if he wanted to. But he just gets old Charlie away and we don't know where he is. And then the devil goes to work. And we don't know where Charlie is. But we do have a good manufacturing plant down in here somewhere that can imagine all the things but Romans 8:28. But you see, God is getting us ready for that time when we'll have wings. and he wants us to test our wings now! So, Habakkuk 3:17 said, well, what if the fig and the blah, and I've quoted it for you so many times, the olive meat be cut off from the fields and the stalls be empty? What if that is true? What if the worst happens to me? What if I'm left destitute? What if I don't have a thing? What if all has vanished? Yet would I rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. He gave me something that will never be taken away. You see, he didn't put that on a temporal basis. That's forever. You think of Habakkuk. Job's wife said, curse God and die. But Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Saul fell on his sword, and the second Saul, who became Paul, said, I'm troubled on every side, but not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. That is, one sees defeat, and the other one sees I'm a better man for it. When he came to boast, he boasted that he'd been whipped and imprisoned and made hungry and naked and destitute and in perils and perils. Now, I'm sure he wasn't just happy about the prisons and the beatings, but he was happy about the wings that he used to mount up. And at midnight, with their backs bleeding and their feet and hands in the stocks in the innermost keep of the prison, Paul and Silas took their wings and said, let's go to the presence of God. And they got in the presence of God and began to sing. And the jail fell apart. Well, one sets in tents and looks for a city whose builder and maker is God. One sets in chains, as Ezekiel did, and sees the freedom of God's people. One is a prisoner at Patmos, and he sees the coming King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a great sword drawn with which he smites the nations. Oh, yes. Oh, when I think of how here old the servant of Elisha, he saw the hills filled with Assyrians, and I just saw them filled with chariots of fire. You see, one of them had a worm's eye view, and the other one had an eagle's eye view. All depends on which way you're looking at it. Oh, how precious it is. A cripple was sitting in a wheelchair. A poor kid that would never walk again, apparently. And he was riding a ferry across the river there in New York. And a couple of women got on and they were whispering. And one of them said, oh, poor boy, what has he got to look forward to? The boy overheard him and he said, I got wings to look forward to. But he demonstrated that he already had them. Did you know that? He wasn't just looking forward to them, he had them. Cheerfully, he mounted up away from his crippled condition and realized he was a child of the King, and someday recognized him as he got on his wings and took off. Let's pray. While every head is bowed, on my right, you need prayer, many hands. My left, Father in heaven, we're so grateful again for the precious presence of the blessed Holy Ghost here to glorify Christ. We praise you that ours is not a condition that is confined to man's help or man's ability. Oh God, you can take the words that we've said and make them life and make them reality to every precious heart. We plead in Jesus' name, grip men and women now. And we give you the praise forever.